Great to have you joining us, whether you are already on the drive or maybe you're just heading to or from morning mass, a time to pray. And the bishops, particularly in this country, are always calling. The book has hit the book stands now from Sophia Press, and it's called Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary. And my husband and I are just beginning to renew our Marian consecration, and we are starting to work with the 33 Days of Morning Glory book. This is a really beautiful book, and so I'm kind of simultaneously reading this book and the 33 Days to Morning Glory, because this book by Father Ed Broom really helps you to reflect more deeply on the various mysteries of the Rosary, and not only just the mysteries of the Rosary, but those of you who might be familiar with the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And if you've been to the grotto and you go into the Chapel of Mary, you'll see the Seven Sorrows of Mary depicted there on the walls in the chapel. And so Father Broom takes these beautiful meditations, really scriptural meditations of the life of our Lord through the lens of our Blessed Mother, and brings them to life in your Marian consecration. And I'm delighted to see this book out there. It's been in retreat format, and now Father has been able to share it with all of us right here through this book published through Sophia Press. Good morning, Father. Thanks for joining us, and welcome back again to Mater Dei Radio.
Thank you very much. God bless you and all of your work.
Well, we're grateful to have you here, and I thought, how wonderful for us the day before the Feast of the Assumption, right on the Feast of Maximilian Kolbe, to share with you and to hear a little bit of your story and a little bit about this book. Now, you're also a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, and I know I wasn't very familiar with this community, and maybe as you kick us off today, tell us a little bit about your community, the charisms with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary.
Sure. Our founder lived in 1759 and he died 1830. His name is Venerable Father Bruno Lanteri. And he lived in northern Italy, in Turin, at about the time of John Bosco, a little bit before John Bosco, even though he met John Bosco. And the basic charism of the Oblates is to spread devotion to Mary. Also, another part is to give the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. Another part would be the fighting against current heresies in the world. Back then, it was Jansenism. Today, it's almost countless heresies that we have to fight against. And also, the formation of clergy is part and parcel of our charism, as well as the formation of the laity. And the title of our congregation is Oblati Maria Vergine, that would be the Italian, and translated in English would be the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. And you probably know that oblation means a total offering and gift. So as you said earlier, Dean, a very, very appropriate Kolbe, and tomorrow the Assumption, that falls right into the very heart of our charism, which is we want to, Kolbe used the word Immaculata, whereas my founder was keen upon the idea of oblation, that we as de Montfort would say, we don't belong to ourselves, but we belong to Mary, who my founder said, he's not the founder, but Mary's the foundress of the congregation. So whenever I have the opportunity to speak about Mary, it gives me a lot of joy because it's part of my charism, and I just believe that in honor of Our Lady of Fatima, we're celebrating the 100th anniversary, that there will be a world peace once we really try to promote this devotion to Mary and consecrate ourselves to her Immaculate Heart. As she said in Fatima many years ago, that wars are a result of sin. And as you said at the top of your program, all these violent acts that are perpetrated throughout the world and throughout our country on local levels, the reason why is simply because people are not praying. No? You've heard what Father Patrick Peyton said. He says the family that prays together stays together. But also there's another less known phrase of Father Peyton, and he said a world at prayer is a world at peace. So wars basically come because people are not praying, and they're not placing themselves under the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I think that we really have to get to know Mary, love Mary, and really try to imitate Mary, because she's the quickest, easiest path to Jesus Christ.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is. And we learned that so much from St. Louis de Montfort. Father Ed Broom is with us. He serves as an associate pastor at a parish in Hawaiian Gardens, California, but also a member of the Oblates of the Virgin of Mary. And Father, you were ordained back in 1986 by St. John Paul II. Can you speak a little bit about that ordination time for you as a priest, and now as you reflect back, that you were ordained by a saint?
That's right. It's incredible that I'm already in my 32nd year. It seems almost as if it were yesterday. Well, you know, I had the privilege of studying in Rome for 7 years at the Angelicum, which is actually where John Paul II studied many years before under Gadigal Lagrange, who was a very famous theologian and teacher. So a group of us petitioned the Vatican if we could be ordained by John Paul II. And we received permission, so it was a Sunday. It was May 25th, which is the month of Mary, of course, and it was the same day that my founder was ordained many years earlier, and it happened to be on the Solemnity of the Blessed Trinity. So the Holy Father entered with many priests, many bishops. And then there was about 80 deacons that were present there at the ordination. And the ceremony lasted a good 2 hours, a very, very beautiful mass. And then the rite of ordination arrived. Maybe if you've ever been to ordination, there was the litany of saints. And we prostrate ourselves on the ground. And then the Holy Father, who's the Bishop of Rome, descended, and he placed his hands upon my head. So I tell people that I have holy hair. I'm a walking relic, because I was touched and ordained by John Paul II, and I just felt that was really the happiest day in my life, because I was ordained by a saint. But also, from that moment on, as we read in sacred scripture, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And from that moment on, I was able to give to the world the greatest gift possible. And of course, the greatest gift possible that we can give to you as priests is to officiate at Holy Mass, celebrate Holy Mass, consecrate the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then we can give this gift of gifts, Jesus, to the hearts of many. I tell people that the two most important things that you can do is to receive Holy Communion and to receive absolution from the priest, because those are direct contacts with Christ through His mystical body, the Church, through the sacramental life. So it's just a day in which I'll never forget. My mom and my dad were present. My father passed away about 10 months ago, and my siblings were there. And then the day after that, I celebrated my first Mass. Was actually a concelebrated Mass with John Paul II. Yeah, but the second would be I celebrated in the Church of Santa Elena, St. Helena, on the Via Casilina in Rome. And the Missionaries of Charity sang at my Mass, because I worked with the MCs in Rome as a deacon preaching to them. And they came to sing for my first Mass. After the Mass, they came up for my priestly blessing. And one of them said, "Well, why don't you come to our house just to celebrate?" They said, "Well, what about my family?" And they said, "Well, bring them also." So I went to the home of the Missionaries of Charity on Via Casilina in Rome. And when I came, there was about 70 nuns there, very festive and joyful, because they had made their, I think, a group had made their perpetual vows that weekend. And all of a sudden, when they came in the middle of the crowd of those nuns, someone came out and came up to me and knelt down and kissed my hands and asked for my blessing, and it was Mother Teresa. So I gave her my blessing, and she kissed my hand. So I'm I guess I'm a. I was a double relic within 20 within 24 hours. No, not bad. I guess I hit the jackpot, didn't I?
You hit the jackpot, Father. And saints beget saints. Isn't that amazing? As we look through history and our most recent history, as you're revealing that holy men and women connect with holy men and women. We influence one another. We strive for holiness together. We help each other when we fall down. This is how we create saints. I mean, sharing with one another.
Maybe, I don't know if you're aware of this, but also John Paul II, after he had finished his studies, or working in his studies, he was thinking about being an actor, thinking about being a professor of philosophy, but also in the back of his mind was the priesthood. When he heard about the person of Kolbe and his heroism, his death, that was what eventually motivated John Paul II to decide against marriage, acting, and teaching as a philosophy professor. That was what motivated him to become a priest. So it was Kolbe's brilliant example of heroism in the concentration camp in Auschwitz, offering himself as a victim, offering his life for a married man, and then dying, basically being starved to death, and then being injected with carbolic acid. Just that real heroism of Kolbe just inspired the young Carol Wojtyla to follow the priestly life. And it's exactly what you said, you know, saints beget other saints, no?
Yeah. Father Broom is with us. He is the author of Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary, and you can visit Father online at fatherbroom.com. Father, for you growing up and as you were preparing for priesthood, the time in the seminary, were there particular holy men and women? Who were some of those holy men and women for you that have inspired you and continue to inspire you today?
Well, I have to say this. The Church says that in the document of JP2, Tertio Millennio Innuente, he says that the Church has to be a school of prayer, and the family also has to be a school of prayer. I'd have to say, first and foremost, being brought up and raised in a really good Catholic family, we're nine altogether, so a pretty big family, in which basically mom and dad, I would say, left a really profound influence upon me because, it wasn't like a religiously fanatic family, pretty normal. We would go to Mass on Sunday, we'd say our prayers, and I think as a priest today, the priest has to have a very well-rounded formation. Even maybe you've heard of the document of John Paul II that he wrote on the formation of priests. Pastora Daba Nobis, which he wrote in the beginning of the 90s, says that the priest has to have a human formation, he has to have an intellectual formation, he has to have a spiritual formation, and he has to have also an apostolic formation. I would say just very impressed with both my mom and my dad. Not that they had, you know, they were walking around, each of them carrying a Bible, but mom, just being open to life. My parents married in June 26, 54, and my older brother, who's now a back surgeon in Florida, he was born March 27th. 55. So he was born 9 months and one day after my parents were married, and I'm an Irish twin, so I'm one of the youngest priests in the country in the sense that I'm 15 and one quarter because I was born in a leap year. So I was born 11 months after my older brother, and I think that, you know, that the openness to life. We're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Humana Vitae, Paul VI, next year, is that One of the reasons why there's a lack of vocations is because Catholic families do not have big families. They're not open to life. Even Cardinal Chaput wrote a wonderful article saying that the future of the world depends upon the family and having big families. You know, the Muslims are having big families, but many Catholic families say no to having a big family. And I think it stands to reason because, say, for example, John and Mary, God wanted them to have seven children, and after two, he had a vasectomy or she had a tubal ligation. There's another five children that were never born that should have been born. So I think it stands to reason then, when you have families that are really open to life, God sees that generosity, and as a result of that, he will often give vocations. I'm living, I'm in a community of six oblate priests. The priest that's right in front of me, in the room right in front of me, he's one of 13 kids, 12 boys and one girl, from a farm family. So, you know, when Father Tim Gallagher, he's one of 12, he's been on EWTN, he's written many, many books, he's also an oblate priest, and I don't think I'm really dodging the question, but I would say when you got Christian Catholic parents that are married properly, and you know, my mother, she's 86 now. She missed Mass only once in her life is because in New York there was a snowstorm back in the 60s, and we couldn't get out of the house. No, so that was the only time in her life that, or I, for my part, ever missed Mass. It was just a good Catholic family in which we didn't have to revert, but we always lived our faith. Not to say that we were saints, but we lived a sacramental life, and that, I think, is the building block for future families, forming good families right away, and then I think vocations will come when you have parents that are really open to saying yes to life, you know, from the very outset of their married life and not holding back on their fertility or utilizing contraceptive means, which is so damaging biologically, morally, and spiritually. So I would say starting out with mom and my dad, who just died October 1st last year. Mm-hmm. So those would be the first two. Not that they're...
You bet.
Not that they're ready to be canonized yet, but they left good example.
Yeah, and that's how we experience that connection, is through our family life and the domestic church. We get exposed to how we are to live a way of holiness, the path of holiness, and we can read about the lives of the saints, and we learn about that through the sacramental life, and what a great opportunity. We need to start right there in the home. With me by phone, Father Ed Broom. He's an associate pastor at Father St. Peter Chanel Church in Hawaii Gardens, California, also a member, as you've been hearing, about the Oblates of the Virgin of Mary, and Father Ed is online at fatherbroom.com. His latest book, Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary. Have you made a Marian consecration this year? Well, you could use this book as a do-it-yourself retreat. We'll talk more about the purpose of a Marian consecration and the opportunity to go on retreat. How does that help us to grow deeper and deeper in love with Jesus? The one who wants to help us the most is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Stay with us here on Mater Dei Radio. The bridge between your faith and everyday life is in person. Virgin Mary, I'm Dina Marie with you each weekday morning, and also online 24 hours a day is MaterDeiRadio.com. We love to join you each and every day in the prayer of the Holy Rosary. And this is such a beautiful book, as the nation is invited to pray a 54-day Rosary Novena together, beginning on the Feast of the Assumption and then concluding on the Feast of Our Lady of the Most Holy Rosary, October 7th, to make a total consecration through the mysteries of the Rosary. What is that all about? Meditations to prepare for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Again, when we talk about a Marian consecration, the ultimate goal is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is always the ultimate goal. Our Blessed Mother is the one who is chosen to bring him into this life through the incarnation, and so she is a wonderful model and the perfect model full of grace to help us along the way to Jesus through Mary. Father Ed Broom with us, and he has written this book as part of what he has been doing in parishes and communities quite often. And I think sometimes, Father, they say, well, could you put that in a book format? Is that a little bit of how this book came into format, as you've had the retreat, and now let's make it accessible to more people?
Yes. What's happening now is, I hope that Sophia will do this, is that over about the past 3 years, there are parishes in Los Angeles, which is the biggest diocese in the country by far, in which they asked me to go in the parish and to consecrate the people there to Mary. So the pastor invites me. Then I bring a missionary team into the parish. And it lasts usually about 5 weeks. And the way it's organized is, I start with celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass for the people. I give a substantial homily. And then after the Mass, either in the church or the parish hall, I give a talk. The month of June, I had two parishes in L.A., one parish, there was about 500 people that participated in it. And then the other church, we had probably about 350 to 400 people that were participating in this Marian popular mission. Then after I give the talk, then those who are doing the Marian consecration, they break up into groups. And I have a team of about 30 facilitators who sits down in the group with the members that are making the consecration to Mary, and they facilitate it. And so that means that they ask each one to express in a couple minutes, how did Jesus and Mary speak to you in your meditation? Now, most of these people have prayed the rosary but quickly, but they don't really know the mysteries that well. So after they've meditated every day for 7 days, and I say try to do an hour, but at least a half an hour, on those mysteries of the rosary, how did Jesus and Mary speak to you? And I really insist that when they're doing the meditations taken from the book, each chapter is composed of three parts. There's a very beautiful picture that's presented, a beautiful etched picture. Then there's actually the biblical passage in the book itself. You could go to your Bible, of course, but it's actually in the book itself. Then I have a long-running commentary on that mystery. What I'm saying constantly is, stop now and talk to Mary. Mary, she's your mother. Mary loves you. Mary wants to listen to you. Mary wants to encourage you. And even though we pray the rosary many times, many people, I'd say most people, have never stopped to simply talk to Mary as a son would talk to his mother. And there are just so many fruits that come from this. In which the people are really taught, it's very Ignatian too, because we're teaching them how to meditate and contemplate and to enter into this deeper union with Jesus through Mary. So they do this for, if the pastor does not have time for the 5 weeks, we'll do the 4 weeks. And those 4 weeks would be the four series of the Mystery of the Rosary. If he gives me 5 weeks, then I'll do the Sorrows of Mary. Then it culminates in a consecration mass. In the consecration mass, it's the mass is normal up to the point of after the homily. Then they say their consecration prayer, and I use the prayer of St. Louis de Montfort, which is the very back of my book. They pray that. Then they bless the scapulars, and then they come up and we impose the scapulars on them, saying, receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Then the Mass continues. Then after Mass, I expose the Blessed Sacrament. We pray the rosary with the people, then the chaplet. Then we have a Marian Eucharistic procession, which we walk around the church, or even at times, it was beautiful on Corpus Christi because downtown L.A., the pastor had asked permission of the city to block off, to actually barricade a couple of blocks downtown L.A. So from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock downtown L.A., you had 300, 400 people walking down the streets with the Blessed Sacrament, with the Blessed Mother, making a Eucharistic procession. So we have the Eucharistic procession with statue of Our Lady of Fatima in front of Jesus, and the people walk, and we sing hymns. Then we place the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. We give the people a solemn benediction, and then they wear their scapular, and then they have to try to live out their consecration, belonging totally to Jesus through Mary. So I've been doing this for 3 years, and Sophia Press says, published this about 3 months ago, and this one is written in English. I hope to talk to them to see if they could eventually have it published in Spanish too. But my desire is to consecrate all the parishes in L.A. to Mary, and I hope throughout the whole. This is maybe I'm ambitious, but I feel it should be this way. Every individual should be consecrated to Mary. Every family should be consecrated to Mary. Every parish should be consecrated to Mary. Every diocese should be consecrated to Mary. Every country should be consecrated to Mary. Every continent should be consecrated to Mary. If the whole world is consecrated to Mary, the Immaculate Mary, then Mary is going to bring us to the heart of Christ. And as you said at the very top of your program, something very beautiful, hey, we're here to be saved. You know, Ignatius says, man is created to praise God, reverence God, serve God, and by means of that to save his soul. So, as St. Louis de Montfort said so very clearly, the quickest, the easiest, the most secure way for us to arrive at the heart of Jesus is through the heart of Mary. So that's the apostolic missionary Mary and Ignatian work we're doing in L.A. I hope and pray that if people can buy this book, that they could, as I said, consecrate themselves and their families and then consecrate their parishes to Jesus through Mary. And I think that that's the Mary is the key to salvation.
Father Ed Broom is with us. Again, his website is fatherbroom.com, and you can get a hold of Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary. In your book, also in the book that I'm familiar with, 33 Days to Morning Glory, and then in the Total Consecration book, True Devotion to Mary, there's such a discussion of the Holy Spirit and prayers to the Holy Spirit. In fact, you say in here, by begging the Holy Spirit and Mary for the grace to pray well. Give us some insights, Father, about the Holy Spirit. And as we talk today on the Feast of Saint Maximilian Kolbe, he has some very interesting insights on the Holy Spirit's relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes. Of the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Holy Spirit, for many, the Holy Spirit is somewhat nebulous, abstract, unclear. I even remember years ago, I've taught confirmation for decades, and I like teaching the boys. And at the very end of my class, the kids were about to be ordained in about a week, and sometimes the bishop asked questions. I asked the boys, and I already taught them about the Holy Spirit. I said, who is the Holy Spirit? And there was silence. And I said, come on, guys, who is the Holy Spirit? Silence again. Hey, come on. The bishop's going to ask, who is the Holy Spirit? Then they point to one of you. You don't say anything, though. The bishop will ask, who is your teacher? And they'll say, Father Broom. Please respond. So one boy in the back of the class raised his hand and said, the bird. Well, you know, at least he got the symbol, right? At least he got the symbol. But, you know, your question is good because, face it, I struggle with prayer. You probably do also, and probably our listeners. We all struggle with prayer at times. Prayer, it's the easiest thing because we can pray any time, but the devil, the flesh, and the world militates against praying well. I love to quote Romans chapter 8, and I think this is a little phrase I put in my book. It's St. Paul says, "We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father." So it's the Holy Spirit that really teaches us to pray. Now, related to Mary, very interesting. Mary, as St. Louis de Montfort says in the very book, in his book, True Devotion to Mary, Mary is she's the daughter of the Eternal Father. She's the mother of the Son, but Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. He also says later on in the book, and I love this phrase, he says, "Those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into those souls." I often think about, I don't know if you've ever thrown a frisbee. You know, the way you kind of fling that frisbee? Well, the Holy Spirit kind of, he flings himself into the soul, not slowly, but very impetuously, if that soul has a great love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. And with respect to the Holy Spirit, the Immaculate Conception was the working of the Holy Spirit. The fact that Mary was preserved from the stain of original sin, that came as a work of the Holy Spirit. Then the incarnation, that means when Jesus took flesh in the most pure womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that happened, we read in Luke chapter 1, the Shekinah, or the overshadowing, that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And when Mary gave her fiat, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word," then it was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary. And then even this, the birthday of the church is Pentecost. What happened before the coming of the Holy Spirit was Jesus told the apostles not to go out to preach right away. There's a beautiful scene in the Mysteries of the Rosary, that the movie that Patrick Peyton did about 50 years ago in Hollywood. And when our Lord is about to ascend to heaven, the apostles are surrounding him, and he says, "Go out to all nations, teaching all I taught, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And Jesus says this, and one of the apostles says, "Lord, how are we going to teach all nations? We don't know anything." And our Lord said, "Don't go right away, but go to the upper room. And when you pray 9 days and 9 nights with the Blessed Virgin Mary, you pray 9 days and 9 nights, then the power from on high will descend upon you." And that's what happened. The Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles through Mary's prayers, and they went out to preach the word of God to the end of the world, and all of them died as martyrs, except St. John the Evangelist, who died of old age. So if we don't have this devotion to Mary, then the Holy Spirit's presence in our soul is not going to be brought to fruition, because Mary facilitates this union. And as you said earlier, Colby goes on to say that if we want to really see the Holy Spirit, we look in Mary. Mary seems to be the incarnation of the Holy Spirit. If we're to look at her, she reflects the beauty, the holiness, the radiance of the Holy Spirit. So I really feel that if we really want to grow in our spiritual life, we have to love the Holy Spirit. He's known as the He's known, one of the titles of the Holy Spirit is he's the sanctifier. But also, he's the mystical spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because she did not conceive through human intervention, but through the divine intervention of the Holy Spirit. So they're really intertwined. They're intimately connected. So in my book, I really believe that when you're meditating upon these mysteries, especially the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles, I really believe our union with the Holy Spirit will actually be intensified.
It is a powerful do-it-yourself retreat from Father Ed Bloom, who's with us today. Ed Bloom, that is, and his website is fatherbloom.com. Total consecration through the mysteries of the Rosary and the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And those of you who live in the Portland metropolitan area, Lane County, up in Camps, Washington, come to the grotto and have some time to pray with Mary in that Chapel of Mary, and you'll see the picture very beautifully, the Seven Sorrows of Mary. Stay with us as we continue to reflect with Father Ed Bloom here on Matre Dei Radio, the bridge between your faith and everyday life. Press total consecration through the mysteries of the Rosary, the do-it-yourself retreat that culminates in the total consecration to Jesus through Mary. And Father, in the introduction to the book, I love this little mentioning to talk about the Goliaths that surround us, that surround our families, our children, and beyond. And you say the Rosary is indeed the spiritual sling we must wield daily to defeat Satan and his evil minions. Let's spend the last few minutes we have with you to talk about the power of the Rosary. And we're speaking within the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, who encouraged the children monthly to pray the Rosary. Tell us a little bit about this power of the Rosary.
Yes. About a year ago, there was a breakup of a lot of violence in Africa, especially in Nigeria, where we have an oblate house of oblates in Nigeria. And Boko Haram, which would be the ISIS, broke out, and there's just a lot of violence, a lot of killing, a lot of abduction of girls. And there was an African bishop that was worried about this situation, and he was spending time praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And all of a sudden, he had a vision of Jesus dressed in white, and Jesus had a sword. And as he prayed and contemplated Jesus with a sword, all of a sudden, the sword was turned into a rosary. And the Nigerian bishop understood that for us to win the spiritual battle against our physical enemies, and as St. Paul even says, our spiritual enemies, we must have the sword. And the sword that we have to wield is that of the Most Holy Rosary. So he recognized that this is a real call from the Blessed Mother. So he spoke with the priest, and he told the priest to try to get the members in their parishes to implore Our Lady, Queen of Peace, by praying the rosary, begging for peace. And the bishop recognized that after a relatively short time, weeks, that there was much less violence. So that's just one example. But as you said earlier, quoting my book, I give the image of David fighting against Goliath, the big giant with a crescent sword, much experience, hit against David. David, small, a shepherd, tried to put on the armor of Saul, wouldn't fit him. Pulls out his slingshot, places one little stone. He launches it at Goliath, which the little stone rivets itself, and the head of the giant comes cascading down, and David takes the sword of the giant, and he chops off his head. How many Goliaths, by means of metaphor, what would a Goliath, so many his parents, we've never lived in such a dangerous, precarious time for our children and our young people today. How many glides are our young people exposed to? Drugs, you know, in L.A., legalizing marijuana, gang activity, also drinking. Also, one of the biggest addictions would be that of pornography, premarital relations, also euthanasia, which is becoming a reality in our country, materialism, consumerism, hedonism, agnosticism, militant atheism. We're surrounded by so many Goliaths, and I'm not saying this to discourage any of our people, but I think we can't be naive or walking around like a ostrich with his head in the sand. We have to have our eyes open and be vigilant that these Goliaths are surrounding our children. You know, the gay agenda, which is very militant in many, many places. If we don't have recourse to the Blessed Mother and her powerful intercession, we're in mortal danger. And the history of the world shows how many times within even the church, that it's through the intercession of Mary that and the Rosary that so many victories have been won. I could just give one. If you read the book of St. Louis de Montfort, which is The Secret of the Rosary, he just gives a lot of beautiful stories. And one of the most famous stories is that of St. Dominic Guzman, who lived in the 1200s at the same time as St. Francis. In that time, the name of the heresy was the Albigensian heresy, which was spreading like wildfire in Europe. And Dominic started to preach against the Albigensian heresy. He was a missionary. He'd go with the bishop, walk from one place to another, preaching against this. And even though Dominic was a very holy man, there was very little success in his preaching. Until on one occasion, the Blessed Mother appeared to him in Toulouse and told Dominic, in a very gentle way, a very maternal way, said, Dominic, God is very pleased with you, but you're lacking one thing. You have to preach the rosary. Preach my rosary, and then God will work through the rosary. So Dominic got up, he started to preach the rosary, and hundreds and even thousands of these Albigensians that were Catholics but changed to the wrong religion returned to the faith and became once again faithful Catholics. So that's one of the most beautiful stories of the power of the rosary. Another very kind of cute story is St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori, who founded the Redemptorists, was a great preacher. And one occasion he was preaching a popular mission, and the mission really went well, and the people were applauding him. And he said, the only reason why I was so anointed is that the altar boy was praying the rosary for me when I was preaching. So there you have, you know, a couple of stories on the power of the rosary. And Our Lady of Fatima, of course, was celebrating the 100th anniversary, insists that we pray the rosary. And probably most of our listeners know that on May 13th, 1981, John Paul II was shot and almost died. That was May 13th, 1981. And John Paul II, once he recovered, this is documented in the book of George Weigel, The Witness to Hope, said that it was the Blessed. There was a lot of evil in the world, but there was a Blessed Mother that directed that bullet away from my vital parts so that I would not die. And it was basically, the victory was his great love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we're living in difficult times of mortal conflict. So we have to dedicate and consecrate ourselves more and more to Mary, and our spiritual slingshot, they call it the spiritual slingshot, that can help us to to fight against these Goliaths out there that are so big and surrounding our kids and our families.
Father Broom with us again, and it's fatherbroom.com, the latest book, Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary and the Seven Sorrows of Mary. And Father, we've just got a couple more moments, and for those listeners who have not yet made a Marian consecration, why should we start today? Why should we make a Marian consecration?
Well, I would say one is because we're in this year of Our Lady of Fatima. It's the 100th year. And Our Lady, every time she appeared, those six times she said, pray the rosary. But this book is different than the others. I'm not saying it's better than Colby or Mike Gately's or St. Louis de Montfort, but it's different in the sense that the primary purpose I got from reading John Paul II's document on the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Rosary, and the primary purpose of this book is to contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. I'd like to repeat that. To contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and the heart of Mary. Now, if we do that, as St. Louis de Montfort says so clearly, he says the quickest, easiest, most secure, the most efficacious pathway to the heart of Jesus is through the heart of Mary. And that's done through praying the prayer that Mary loves most. Mary loves the Hail Mary, but Mary loves something even more than the Hail Mary. She loves the rosary because the Hail Mary is said 50 times. So I hope that all of our listeners would purchase the book. Maybe you can go to your pastors and ask your pastor if he can maybe set up some type of group and consecrate his parish to Mary. And if he does that, I really believe that parish is really going to flourish more and more and form great saints, because Mary can help us to really grow in holiness, as Colby would point out.
Yes. Father Ed Broom with us again. The book, Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary, thanks to our friends at Sophia Institute. And you can learn more about them and all of the resources they have available at sophiainstitute.com. Father, thank you so much for always sharing with us. And number one, for your priesthood and your yes to Jesus through Mary. Would you please help us close with your blessing on our listeners?
Yes. I pray to Jesus through the intercession of St. Maximilian Kolbe, St. Louis de Montfort, and all the angels and saints, and through Mary's Immaculate Heart, may God bless you all with peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. God bless you, and have a very blessed summer season.
God bless you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Again, Father Ed Broom with us from Hawaiian Gardens, California, and continue to pray the rosary with us daily. And the guide is Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary, Meditations to Prepare for Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary. Learn more about that on our website, the in-person page at MontreDayRadio.com. God bless you, and stay with us as we continue to pray each and every day the morning offering and the Holy Rosary. Join us as we lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary. Have a blessed day. You've been